Everybody, welcome to MMO. I am Matt Matan.
I'm Michelle Shee.
And we are so excited to be kicking off a little mini-series here on the podcast, on the program, and looking forward to sharing our adventure, or misadventure, as it may have turned out,
but
we didn't allow it
You'll have to listen.
So before we get into starting our journey, our adventure,
okay.
our epic odyssey, if you were, share a little bit about your background and an area near and dear. Last year, we did an episode where we were at Acadia National Park, which is
right.
my heart's home.
Yes.
This year, we kick off our season, our travel season.
Going to
with
my
your
home.
Heart's home. Yeah.
Right. So I grew up, I went to a school in Mobile, Alabama, which is on the Gulf Coast, and spent a lot of my time down there. My brother had a place and still has a place in Perdido Key. And then I went to school. I went to Loyola in New Orleans, and I stayed there. And I just loved the city and everywhere in between. So I spent a lot of time traveling from one to the other to see friends, to see my family. And yeah.
And growing up, your family used to vacation along the,
yes,
the Gulf Coast,
right,
as well.
So
you lived there, you went to school there, and you vacationed there.
Yes, yes. There were several places along the Fort Walton, Destin, Orange Beach kind of area from one to the other.
Yeah. And so you were like really feeling that. I always feel a calling at some point. I get to an unbearable calling to
yes.
get near the ocean. And
yes.
you have the same thing. So we both have that.
Right.
And yours became so strong that you just took the bull by the horns and created this trip for us, which is great.
I don't like that expression. I don't know why, but yes, I did. And it's because even before we were a couple, the same with you in Maine. Even before we were a couple, I mean, back before I had health issues, I would do this trip all the time. It was a regular trip I would do. I would try to line it up with Jazz Fest in New Orleans and being able to see my friends, staying with my friends and family. And so it was just nice to have that rhythm and definitely be in a space where I felt very, very comfortable. Just like you did in Maine and up in the Boston area.
Yeah, and then also for me, I lived along the Gulf Coast for a number
yes.
of years as well.
Yeah.
So a little bit, a tick further east from where your experience
mm-hmm.
envelope was, but still the same shared currents and tides
right.
and food and things
yeah.
like that, similar foods. By the time you get over to New Orleans, you cannot say it's the same food as you get in, say, Pensacola.
Right.
It's very different.
Exactly.
Very,
and I think
different.
Pensacola is about the cutoff.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, because once you get into the actual Gulf Coast area, you're getting some of that Louisiana flavor, even though you're 3 hours away.
So people have seen the titling on this, and the best way
me, what is the titling?
You know what it is. So, you know, we tried to think how to encapsulate this, you know, adventure we went on and spent a good amount of time traveling the Gulf Coast. And really, the thread that we could find that weaved together the regions that we spent time in for this trip that we're going to be talking about in this series was the I-10 corridor stretch of the Gulf Coast.
Right.
Because everywhere that we were going and traveling, even though we try to stay off the interstates as much as we can now,
right.
we started that a little over a year ago.
Yes.
But I-10 is the drop point to all the places we went.
And it's iconic. If, you know, most people recognize that I-10 is an iconic highway.
Right.
You know, maybe not as famous as Highway 1 in California, but very similar, you know, in the fact that it is a regular traveled road that takes you from, you know, through those areas. So I love that. I love
yeah.
that we're doing that.
And it connects a lot of old southern coastal and deep south metropolitan areas. and cultural areas too. You know, like one of the things along the way, a little bit of a preview, you know, of course, New Orleans, Pascagoula. I can say it, Pascagoula.
Biloxi, Pascagoula.
You know, but, you know, some of the history there culturally of, you know, recent history, like movie Forrest Gump, you know, and a lot of that being
that
centered
was
in
over,
that area.
That was over on the Fairview, no?
Yeah, see, but see, yeah. Because you have local roots in that whole region, you'll be like, well, no, that was over in Fairhope or whatever it
Fairhope,
was.
Fairhope, yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'm like, wait, no, Fairview is...
too. But to people outside,
yeah, Fairhope, yeah.
They wouldn't get that micro
right.
with their awareness of what bays
Absolutely.
Or what little fishing villages and everything.
Yeah.
But we went into this, you know, with that real gravity to get to the coast. And, you know, our car, you know, bless its wonderful soul, turned over the 200,000 mile mark during this trip.
You
know?
Have to share that.
Well,
it's embarrassed.
It's part of our journey. No, it's
something by
to
its
be proud
age.
Of.
It said, please
but
don't tell everyone.
Because
yeah.
it's got a I'm little bit of mileage puppy. Under its wheels, we had decided to rent a vehicle for the trip. You know, that
right.
we weren't gonna put all the extra miles because we knew we were gonna do, you know, 1 to 2,000 miles driving
right.
on this trip. But on our way, as we left early in the morning on day one of the trip, heading toward the Florida coast, we were probably only about 30 minutes away from picking up our rental car and decided we didn't want to do that.
No.
I didn't want to do it.
I was very cozy in our car, and I love our car. Our vehicle is just very, it's just great.
It's us.
It's us, and it's great to have on a road trip. I would have missed our car.
But the other thing, too, for me anyway, was if we had a rental car, we'd have a firm deadline of when we have to return it. And we were going to rent it close to where we live. We were going to rent it in Greenville, South Carolina. We live in Asheville, North Carolina, which is only, what, maybe an hour drive, hour and 15 minutes or something.
Right, 45 if it was me. But yeah.
And,
you always
and so,
add like an hour on to everything.
Though. Well, yeah, I'm
but
an
you're
old
good.
Man. Yeah,
you're
I
good.
Birdwatch along
this,
the way.
This is why I like
but
you.
But we decided to not do that. So we called, had a free cancellation. We were really excited about that. But then we weren't limited to have to, you know, we took that bumper off the back end of our trip. You know what I mean? We didn't have to stop whatever we were doing or whatever was happening with our trip organically. We didn't have to stop it and then race back to South Carolina from wherever we
were. Right, yeah. And I hated that idea from the beginning. It was like, that's not a vacation to me if you've got such a hard deadline. You've got to meet at your vacation. It's like, oh no, that's so abrupt and...
Well, what kind of happened from there is just deciding like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to stay in this car. We're not going to have those timelines.
Yeah. And then we were free.
We were free, and it set an energy that lasted throughout the entire trip.
Yeah,
of
sure
like,
did.
We don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. We can do anything, but we don't have to do anything.
Right.
And I think that as we go through this series, people are going to notice that decision early in the morning, riding to Greenville, South Carolina, set the tone for the entire adventure.
Exactly, because if we didn't have that attitude, things could have really gone, pun intended, south quickly.
Yeah. And we did a lot of south and east and west and east again and west again
right.
and south again. We did a lot of bounce around. So our first destination, though, let's get this started. So day one, that's how we started off. We made this conscious decision to remove the barriers and the controls of timeline and stay in something that was very familiar and comfortable to us
right.
and have that freedom. And so we headed on our way, and the very first destination for us was Perdido Key, which is just outside Pensacola, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and heading to family grounds in that area.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about Perdido Key.
Well, I can't talk about Perdido Key or any of this area really without mentioning my brother. And so John went to school. My brother's a year older than me, and he went to school in Pensacola for flight school, that Navy flight school. And so he bought a little house in Perdido Key at the time he was in flight school, and that was in the 90s. And
we could still afford real estate on the
beach. Yeah, well, yeah, and So he had a lovely little condo that was a couple stories and right on the beach. I mean, you just put your feet in the white sand, and then Hurricane Ivan came and destroyed it. And after that was destroyed, he kind of put a flag right where his old condo was. And when they put up a new, like, I don't know, how many stories do you think that place was?
10 stories, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put up the new, like, structured condo. He got a ground floor so you could still pretty much just walk out onto the beach, onto the
pool
patio.
But up high enough to avoid storm surge.
Right, right, exactly. But it now had a caveat. But so, yeah, so I've been going there since the 90s when I lived in New Orleans. I would make, you know, weeks and long weekends over there. We'd all go with friends, family. And so it was very nice. We were able to grab it for our trip.
Yeah. And so we get to Perdido Key. It was later in the evening and things. So the first thing we do is look for the good food. And we have a place that we always go to whenever we go to the Pensacola area, and especially Perdido Key.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is literally across the street.
It's across the street.
And it is so good. And just a big old shout out to Shrimp Basket. There are shrimp baskets everywhere, but the one in Perdido Key is freaking amazing. And
yeah, I can't speak to the other ones because we've never gone to the other ones.
No, we haven't. I don't want to. I don't need to. This is our special shrimp basket. Get a bite of.
And so the theme throughout the trip is, you know, just go with it, you know, and not have any expectations, and just whatever happens, happens. And it started with making the decision about the car, and then we get to Perdido Key, we unload our stuff into the condo, head right back across the street to get the meal we've been talking about the whole week leading up to the trip.
Right.
And I order, you know, a platter that's got a couple of different things on it, and the waitress misunderstands what I ordered.
Right.
And brought me out their big mega seafood platter with just about everything that they serve, and the thing is half the size of the table.
Right.
And she was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you know, that's not what you're." I'm like, "I'm okay with it." I'll just go with it. I'll have leftovers and everything.
Yeah, no,
it ended up being great, and we did some barter trading because I'm not a big oyster guy, and I know I'll probably get some comments. Well, you got to try it this way, everything. I do like Parmesan roasted.
You like
stuff
the,
in the shell, you know, like baked.
Right. You like the the half baked on a shell.
Yeah,
kind rather than the fried or rather than raw. Yeah,
right. And so this was all they had a bunch of fried oysters on there, which I ate one and it tasted good. It's the texture, you know, kind of like tofu or mushrooms. It's
right,
same kind
which
of thing.
I love all those things.
And you had some amazing shrimp, you know, these big shrimp. So we just did a little trading, you know,
about
a weight differential trade.
You made a shrimp.
And so we enjoyed our meal and got settled in for the evening and then start exploring the area. Perdido Key has a lot of really cool stuff. But one of the things about Perdido Key specifically is it's not as developed or touristy as a lot of the areas along what I always knew when I was living down on Tyndall Air Force Base, which is near Panama City. That stretch of the Gulf is referred to as the Emerald Coast.
Right, and, which know, I never, I mean, I guess I heard it, because I mean, the water is so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's emerald green, blue, and beautiful in the white sands. But Perdido Key is not super developed. You know, it's still...
It's a hidden gem.
Yeah.
Why are we doing a podcast
about this?
I feel a little guilty.
I feel like we're making the same mistake we made about a certain lake in the Southern Appalachians a few years ago.
Yeah.
That you now can't get on.
Right. So
we'll just move right on.
Moving right on.
So the next thing on part one of this, Pensacola. There's so much to do on Pensacola. And you can go ahead and you can Google search things to do. But, you know, the continued theme of go with whatever, they had a tall ships show that was going on in Pensacola the, you know, the time that we were there, yes, at Perdido Key.
Of your people.
Of my people. Tall ships are my people. And I was so excited. Yeah. I was like, I just want to see them. I don't even care. And we were planning this. And even on the ride down, knowing it was there and wanting to get out there. But then all of a sudden, we get hit with, like, the good old Gulf monsoon weather, you know, and we couldn't get out to any outdoor activities,
right,
that first full day there. So we, yes, did something that we've done before, and it's a lot of fun. I don't think we've ever talked about it on the show before, but I plot out. Well, let me back up.
Yeah, you're missing a lot if we want to talk about
because
our schedule. So when we went down, we had a broad stroke schedule that we were going to meet. Jazz Fest tickets, you buy them because they know people. They know New Orleanians. Like, they do. They really do. And so you don't have to buy just a one-day ticket. You get a one-day ticket that's good for the weekend. So if you can't do the first day, and then you pick one day to go. And yeah, so originally I had plotted out with my friends, like, we're gonna go down and go to Jazz Fest on Saturday, but then found out there were gonna be storms, so we made a quick decision and we were like, let's just go Friday, you know, like let's just head over to New Orleans. We have our home base here at the beach, and so we did that, and then there was some storms and went awry.
Right. There's so much there. We have so many different tentacles to this story to unpack over this series. But that's why I was kind of leaving out some of the changes in it.
Just cut all this out.
And because then we ended up having experiences and going places we had not even planned.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when we were there, and we'll put an asterisk. Hold on to the fact that we ended up having storms and doing stuff in Pensacola.
Yes.
Because there's a whole chapter in between.
Exactly. Saturday we're there. Storms are coming down. We wanted to go see the tall ships.
Couldn't do it.
But we kind of had to do other things.
And so one of the things about Pensacola is there's a large military population.
Right.
You know, you have a lot of military that are there. And in towns where there's a large military population, and also in towns where there's a lot of tourism, there's something you tend to see a lot of, and that is thrift stores.
Yes, and I was so excited because I love thrift stores.
You love shopping anyway, but thrift store is a
thrift
special
store
level.
Shopping is a special treasure hunt type thing.
So we've done this at times before. We've never talked about it on the show, but it is something that we love to do, is hit thrift stores and everything. And so I plotted out on this rainy day, 10 or 12 of the top most popular, locally popular thrift stores in Pensacola, and plotted our route and just however many we could get in before the time ran out.
And those were from
Perdido
Key to Pensacola, like right nestled in there and then around Pensacola.
Yeah, so it was our thrift tour of Pensacola Metro.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I got some really good stuff, I would just like to say, and it was wonderful for... by the time we were done, the sun was out again, and we were back on the beach, back in the hot tub. Everything was great.
all the hard life stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, but one of the things about hitting the thrift stores and everything, the fun of it.
Right.
But also, they're all so different. And for me, whenever we go to thrift stores in different communities, it does give you a feel for things in a community.
Exactly.
Because there's often local artists will have stuff in there and everything, but also the conversations you get with people.
Yes.
You know, you're meeting actual local people most of the time, you know, and it's not something that tourists are like, oh, let's go hit all the thrift stores, you know, but it's really for me, one of the great joys of going to thrift stores is the conversations I get to have with people and
Absolutely.
The random people that I meet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun because, you know, we went from little tiny, like single open room kind of thing to where like we went to one that it was like It was like block. three whole department stores connected together.
Yeah,
it was
a
massive.
And
it wasn't like an antiques barn where it's different vendors. This was a thrift store that was thousands upon tens of thousands of square feet.
Yeah.
And all to support a local mission to help people that were homeless and needing transition into the workplace. And,
wonderful.
And it was a great time. So, yeah, you found some great deals.
I did.
You know, and how do you approach the shopping? Do you just see if something speaks to you, or do you go looking for specific things?
I do both. One of the things that I came down on this trip, I was like, I very specifically am looking for a small green backpack. You know, it was one of those things. And then there were other things that I was also keeping my eye out for, and little knickknacks I saw. But we're trying to declutter our house. So everything, I spoke to it, to everything I got on the trip. I actually said, do I want you to come into the house? You want to come into the house? Are we going home? Are we going home together?
It's funny. That's what you said about me.
Yeah.
Do I
want to
bring you home? Do you
want
to bring into the house?
Are you coming home? Are you coming in? Are you staying? Are you
going
to be
here? Am I
going
to keep you, or am I going to re-donate you to another place?
Where am I
going to
put you? How am I going to decorate you? Yeah, so.
Yeah, and so you ended up finding a bunch. You went looking for a specific bag. But you ended up finding all these little mini bag things.
Oh, that's right. Okay. And I have a picture of this. I forgot.
Yeah,
because
you talk about decluttering and trying to do things.
So I always, this has been for many, many years, the trip from Asheville down to the Gulf Coast has always been for me this imagery of a yo-yo unrolling, a yo-yo that's been so tangled and knotted by life that you're trying to find the smooth roll again. And so as you make your way down through from Asheville, through Georgia, through Alabama, and you finally get to the beach, you start things have started to unravel with the tight knots, and there's still kinks and stuff, and you're working through it. And so one of the things I did when I first got to the beach that night, which was a Thursday night, was I dumped out every bag I owned onto, because where we were staying had this amazing, like a white marble.
A really long counter.
And I never feel like I get to stretch out like that, you know, with stuff. And so I just dumped out every single thing that wasn't clothes or like computer stuff or whatever on the counter. So all my makeup, all my conditioners, hair things. And I have severe medical issues, so I have a lot of medical stuff I'm bringing with me whenever we travel. And so dumped it all out and then organized
Wait. You left out an important part.
Yes.
You put a little stack of towels at
in
the end of that
your
pile.
Stuff.
No, not in between. You can't call it in between.
No,
that suggests a halfway. So she had a stack of towels and she came to me and she said, is this going to be enough space for you? And there was about 10 inches
at the end
of this 12-foot long counter.
Yes.
This is about 10 inches. She's like, your bag can fit right there.
Right.
Your shower bag.
It was perfect for his
stuff. So guys that are listening, if you can imagine walking in, you just get to this beach condo and then this 12-foot long marble counter in the bathroom, and it's covered with every health and beauty thing you can ever imagine.
Just all brushes.
How many scissors did you have?
That was so funny. There were things that I'm like, why? When I was packing, I had so many pairs of glasses, reading glasses, and so many scissors.
So many scissors.
And I didn't understand the scissors. I'm like, why do I have? And I had one of those, things that you could prop up. So I had all my scissors together. And I'm like, they're every shape, they're every size. And I really think that when I was packing, every time I saw a pair of scissors, I was just like, oh, got to take those. And it was really funny.
So I just wanted, before you get into the sorting of it, I just wanted to point out my perspective experience of walking in and then you saying, is this enough space for you? It just like the I love you moment of that, you know,
and
not understanding what you were about to do or anything, but that's fine.
Yeah,
you know,
you're like, we're on vacation. Well, I don't need the mess here.
You know, for me, it's a pilgrimage of rejuvenation and clarification, inspiration. And I knew that's what this journey was for you. So it's all great. And yes, I can fit my bag right there. Yes. I want to scoot it over just a little bit so I can leave my toothbrush out.
Right. Well, no, you said that was fine. That was all the room you needed. So now put it on me.
Into the sorting.
But anyway, I did forget about that part was once I sorted everything and I had so many categories of little things, we decided to go thrift shopping. I decided on the thrift tour that I was going to look for bags that were woven bags, and I didn't care the design, I didn't care what it looked like, but that I could, because those are like always going to be like a dollar each, you know, these makeup bags that, you know, you have. And so that's what I did. In every thrift store, I found a makeup bag, found a couple of them, these woven bags, and I put all my stuff in, organized it, and then I took a marker, and I did a permanent marker. I did this intentionally because my goal was like what this looks like is no one else's business but mine. So I'm like, I'm just going to write, you know, like different makeup things, different beauty
things,
medical.
Yeah, you can have a bag that says, like, you know, lipstick or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I care.
Yeah. Scissors.
Yeah, insulin. Scissors.
A big bag of scissors.
Right. You know, I didn't end up having a scissor bag. What did I do? Oh, I know. I had this other bag I had come down with, which was, no.
Yeah, I'm really curious what happened with all those scissors. Did you donate
them
to a medical society?
I put them in my little green bag. So not the one that I found that was exactly the one that I've wanted forever, which I didn't find until the day we were leaving.
So you have all these little handheld size mini bags that you end up sorting all your stuff, organizing, and labeling.
I had all my pens and scissors and my notebook that I took on this tour as my little thing. And I put them all in a slightly larger mini bag, you know.
Yeah, so easy to find stuff.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, that gives that organization, that ease. And you've talked previously about, you know, with all your medical challenges and some of the physical barriers to what other people may experience on getting ready for things, you know, you've talked publicly, you know, you had an interview with me on my own show not too long ago. We talked about, you know, getting ready to go do things for you sometimes, you know, is a day long prep.
It takes a long time, and I always feel guilty because, you know, when I was growing up, you're going on a trip, you throw things in a bag, and it's not that bad. I've always had to keep up with my insulin, so I've always had some.
But so
things.
This organizational stuff,
it
makes it more productive for you, and it frees you up.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, but for another time, because I was just thinking that my knee was broken this whole time.
Oh yeah, we forgot to put that in there. You broke your knee just before you went.
Yeah, I broke my knee just before we left, and it was a lot, but having you there the whole time was
adjusted.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and there'll be some examples of some of the things we did to mitigate that along the way in
we'll
other
get
episodes
there.
Of
but,
the series.
But so with this, you know, it's something that I have done before. Like, you go on vacation. My mother used to do this. You go on vacation, and you organize everything that's there with you on vacation. And that way, when you go back, when you make the trek, the journey, the trip back to where you came from, then you're more organized thinking, and things have their place, and you can bring that hopefully back in with you from your time off.
So you know, some of these things that are happening, you know, it's, we're getting out there, we're having fun, we're enjoying the beach, the coast, the local food. We're hit with this monsoonal Gulf kind of weather, and we say, oh, let's have fun, and we get to enjoy local people and do some treasure hunt kind of shopping, which is also helping you to organize stuff.
Right.
And also ended up, and I guess we can probably get into this in another part of this series, but it ended up feeding into an art project that evolved through the course of our trip for you, you know, when you were labeling the bags with the marker and everything,
right.
You know, we can probably get into that a little bit later in it. But one of the things, cause I'm looking at the time constraints here,
yeah.
But, one of the experiential type things that I wanted to point out, before we run out of time, was there in that area is Gulf State Park.
Yes, yes.
Which is so a beautiful natural area that's right there, and it's on the outer shell island, I guess you'd
right.
call.
Right, yes. So you're not at the beach. You're a little further
You can
inland.
See the beach from it. You're right there on the other side.
You can see it. It's, what, is it brackish water?
And... No, that's what I was going to get to, is Gulf State Park has what's called Shelby Lakes.
Right.
It's actually two, but they're shared, like, water channels and everything. And right at the front edge of the lake, of Shelby Lake, it's actually Shelby Lakes, but locally people are like, Shelby Lake. That's
right.
The big one. You know,
right.
The other thing's just a little
yes.
pond that's connected
yeah.
off the side. But Shelby Lake, when we were driving by it, this is before we knew any information about it, I'm like, that's weird. There's a bunch of cattails. And literally, we're on a road, and to my left is the ocean. And to my right is this huge body of water that's got
right.
cattails and everything.
Right.
And I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because I thought for sure it was an inlet bay or something at that, but it's an old, isolated, cut off body of water that
so
has become fresh water.
It's a lake that used to be part of the ocean, being salt water. It had fish and other life in it when it got cut off
yeah.
over time, and
a long, long time ago.
And so normally when you've got salt water coming in with fresh water, you call it brackish water. But this is different because it's its own thing. It's still fresh water, but the fish that came from the salt water have adapted.
Some of them, yeah. Redfish and speckled trout still
right.
live in it.
Yeah, so they've adapted to be in the water, and I think other things, too.
There's like, a few yeah. other things, too, but
yeah.
right there at the close edge where
right.
you're driving literally on what feels like a road bridge, in that space, there is some bleed-through the sand underneath,
right.
and when hurricanes or big
right.
storm surges,
they
will get some salt water
in
it.
Yeah.
But it's such a big body of water, and the fresh water push and weight, and because there's no tidal flow or inlays, it maintains officially a freshwater status.
Which is amazing.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's people catching big bass and things
right.
like that. But you can also catch a big redfish
yeah.
and a speckled trout.
You never know what you're going to get.
And it's not officially brackish water. There's no
right.
tidal in and out.
Yeah.
There's no high tide, low tide, which is usually part of how
yeah,
you...
there's no meeting of the minds.
Yeah,
the
there's
fresh
no like,
salt.
Oh, it's an incoming
yeah.
tide. I got a fish in the
right.
first couple of feet at the surface to get this
yeah.
kind and below it. But a fascinating place. But they had all kinds of activities around, lots of walking trails. They even developed some like rental camping cabins, like some, you know, glamping
right.
kind of cabins along one shore of the lake and everything.
Yeah.
But if you're traveling to that area, be sure to make Gulf State Park a stop on your trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then a couple other areas to touch on real quick on there, you know, later on, right toward the end of the trip, we came back through to finish where we began at
right.
Perdido Key.
Right.
And we met up with friends, and your kidney donor.
Yes.
Made the trip over there from where
she lives.
She's
both my friend and kidney donor.
That is correct. And had what I can only compare to, if you've ever seen The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd,
mm-hmm.
there's a scene in it where John Candy tries to do a challenge at a restaurant to eat this huge steak. And he gets a free T-shirt if he completes the whole plate, and everybody at the table and around them ends up rooting
right,
them on.
Right.
That's what my breakfast was like at
yes,
this place. And
yes,
it was enormous.
It was a New Orleans-style restaurant on the Gulf Coast.
Ruby Slipper is what it was
called. Ruby Slippers, and they served breakfast, southern breakfast. I ended up getting...
You got a shrimp omelet type thing?
I got a shrimp omelet and a side of grits, and I put my shrimp in with the grits. And then the omelet, it was amazing. It was so good. And then I gave you my biscuit to add on to.
Wait. You are not doing justice.
The boozy coffee, too.
Oh, yeah, well, oh, that's right. You had the boozy, which was a rum-based
that
coffee.
That was the name of the coffee.
Yeah, it was called
mm-hmm.
the boozy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
Iced
pictures
coffee.
Of that, too.
Yeah.
But these weren't just biscuits. And these weren't just cat head biscuits.
Right.
These were like stacked cat head biscuits. It was like two cat head biscuits on top of each
other.
It was
a lot.
And so of on biscuiting. My plate, I had breakfast potatoes. I had pancakes. I had bacon. I had eggs. I had sourdough. I had the cane sugar, maple syrup, butter.
Right.
I had the local strawberry preserves, which were different kind of... strawberries were different, the texture and color and everything. And there were other things on there, too.
Right.
But I'm down to my last couple of bites. I'm leaning on one arm as I bite. I've already undone my stuff. I'm doing deep breathing.
Anymore.
Sweat's pouring down my face as I eat. Everybody at the table's like, you know, rooting me on, like, oh, you can do it. And then she drops her double stacked cat head biscuit on my plate.
Yes, I did.
And pointed out that there was still some of that cane sugar, maple, butter, and strawberry preserve left. And if I didn't finish it, I didn't officially complete that challenge of a mega breakfast.
Right, because everyone was watching you eat at that point.
Even the staff.
Yeah.
Even the staff were coming over.
Right.
But anyway, it was one of the best breakfasts I've ever had. And I finished it. And I didn't eat a meal again. What was it, like the next day?
Right, because by that time we were back home, like a day later.
I didn't eat again until North Carolina. You know, a meal. I didn't have a meal again. So, you know, wrapping up, you know, Perdido Key, Pensacola, Gulf State Park, Orange Beach, Alabama, that whole little area. Is there anything that you can think of that we want to make sure to mention that we may have missed?
No, I think that'll be great. Like that covers, that pretty much covers it. We've got so much to cover in other episodes too.
So in the next episode, we made the decision. This is, remember the asterisk earlier in the conversation?
Yes.
Our thrift tour day.
Yes.
Ended up being what we did instead of the plans to go to Jazz Fest that next
day.
Right,
because there was
thunderstorms
and other reasons.
But we were on our way to New Orleans.
Yes.
And we'll talk about the sidebar, absolutely unexpected and interesting fun turn that our trip took in the next part of our series.
We didn't quite make it there that day.
We didn't, but boy, did we have amazing once-in-a-lifetime experiences and discoveries that were just epic. And so we'll talk about that in the next part of this series. Our Gulf Coast I-10 corridor from Destin, Florida to New Orleans here on MMO. And we hope to have you tune in and listen then.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.